Good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, April the 25th, 2018, 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to WWGH Radio. Scott Spears along with you for the ride for one more hour. And today we're paying tribute to a great man, great broadcaster, great coach, Coach Earl Bruce, former head coach for the Ohio State Buckeyes, passed away on Friday at the age of 87, and was laid to rest this morning. And just to tell you how big of a deal it was covered by all the Columbus television stations at 10:30 in the morning. So it's a big day, and a lot of remembrances going out to the coach. Hour number one, we played an interview that we did with Coach Bruce back in January of 2015, after the Ohio State Buckeyes had won the national championship, and it was fun to hear the coach and remember his gruff but loving attitude. Joining us to remember him is one of his colleagues at WTVN, which is where he went after leaving Ohio State and a few other coaching jobs that the coach had. He's known best around these parts as Mr. High School Sports, Larry Larson. Larry, how are you?
You know what, Scott? I was listening to your weather forecast for the beautiful city of Marion and in its surroundings. Out here in Southern California, where I have lived for the last 6.5 years, it isn't the same. It isn't quite the same weather forecast. But it's a beautiful day out here. And it would be a beautiful day to remember one of the great people I've ever met in my lifetime, Earl Bruce. And I thank you, Scott, for having me on today.
Well, I'm glad you could make time for us on short notice. And you're right. This is not, this is a typical Midwestern April, so we'll go along with it. When did you first meet the coach?
Okay, so we got to go back with my history I started covering Ohio State football in 1976. And in 1976, the head football coach, of course, was Woody Hayes. And so I got to cover Woody, and I was working then for Associated Press. And I got to cover Woody for 3 years. And it was interesting, great, fun, and, of course, being legendary. And then along came Earl Bruce. And so I met him in 1979, and Earl endeared himself to me from the very, very start. And the reason being, that's when I was a high school football coach at Grandview High School in Columbus. And in 1979, when he was motoring his team to the to within 1 minute, 1.5 minutes of the national championship, my Grandview Bobcats went unbeaten that year with one tie. And so we ended up ranked, I don't know, maybe sixth in the state. And at the end of my season, I got a letter in the mail. And it was from Earl. And it was handwritten. And it was about how impressed he was with the fact that we had completed an unbeaten season and how wonderful it was for our community and whatever. And how, a tribute to my players. And what he wrote it, Scott, in the second week of November, when he was preparing for the end of his regular season. And it impressed me. I still have the letter. And it impressed me so much that somebody of that level would take time to hand write a full-page letter to me. That started it. And then, of course, I covered him for his years at Ohio State, and then, of course, he became part of our broadcast team. And I'm the only way I can say this, Scott, is I was lucky. I was lucky. I've been lucky most of my whole life with things, that I was so lucky to know him and get to know him and become a really good friend of both him and Jean, his wife. And my wife, Jeannie, died about a year before Jean did, or 2 years before. And so we had something in common there. And, you know, it was just, I guess the way to put it, an honor to know Earl Bruce and to work with Earl Bruce.
You know, it's interesting, Larry, when I look at the Ohio State coaches from Woody Hayes on in the modern era, it's interesting. I've had a chance to interview most of them, and he was the most unassuming. He was a real down-to-earth person. How did you find him to cover? Sometimes the media and the football coach do not have the best relationship.
Yeah, you know, I think it all needs to be said. There is a quote that former AP sports writer Rusty Miller made when Earl died. Rusty said, you know, I had to cover coaches for 30 years. And he said, when Earl was let go, they had the final press conference, and he said, after it was all said and done, I'm going out to my car to get in it to go to work. And he said, car pulls up next to me, and it's Earl Bruce leaving. And he said, he rolled the window down, and he said to me, Rusty, you were always fair. Thanks for covering us. And Rusty said, this is the guy that just got fired by Ohio State University. And he took the time to acknowledge a reporter. So the bottom line is, he was a great man, a great man. And one of the things that I'm sure, you were telling me about your interview after Ohio State won in 2014. I can only imagine, because he was without question the most passionate of all the Buckeye fans I've ever met in my life. He was without question the most passionate. And I love that about him. And it's something that I've always said I would like to emulate as the rest of my life, is to emulate his passion for life and passion for the Buckeyes.
You know, it was interesting. I had not listened to that interview since I'd done it in 2015, and I was pressing him in that interview about, if you were the coach today, which quarterback would you choose? Because they were having the situation with three great quarterbacks and about losing one. And, you know, he got a little gruff, but it was fair. He was gruff, but it was fair. I think he always understood the media was doing their job.
Yeah, right. And then, of course, he was in the media. So that made it a little bit different. But, you know, with Earl, he knew that he was blessed by the fact that he was the head football coach at Ohio State. And, you know, he just embraced that, and he was proud of it. And the fact that he was let go, it never bothered his passion for Ohio State. Never. I mean, he was still just as vehement. And then the nice closure on his coaching career is that one of his proteges, Urban Meyer, comes and becomes the head coach at Ohio State, which, you know, came at a really good time, because it was during the time that Gene was dying, and so he had a fallback. And, he had a wonderful life. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
You know what was interesting about him? When I look back at his career, he was at this pinnacle, head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He had a good record. He was coming off a legendary coach getting fired for punching a player, which is not the best time to come into that job. He gets fired at the end, which, you know, some people say fair, some people say unfair, some people say it was political. But then he did not think things were beneath him. He went and coached an arena football league in Columbus. He didn't just do interviews. He became part of a broadcast team.
Yep.
It says something about the man.
And a valuable, no, I don't even say valuable. I won't even use that. That's not enough. People, when I was at TVN, and whether it be George Lehner and then Matt McCoy, and when we had Dave Birdie and Greg Fry and Keith Byers and Chris Thielman and Jim Lachey, all those guys as part of our interview team, Stanley Jackson. I mean, you know, Scott, he was the person everybody wanted to hear. He was the guy on Saturday morning that everybody wanted to hear what he had to say. It was, and he used to just laugh about that. But he was the person that you know, I mean, Bill Connelly was fabulous. And Bill Connelly was fabulous because he was a coach there. He was an assistant coach there. But he knew the inner workings. And you take guys, you know, I mentioned Chris Thielman and Jim Lachey and Dee Miller. Those guys, they all had been playing there. But Earl had coached there. He knew, he understood Ohio State, Michigan. He understood Big Ten football. He was just fabulous. And then he was passionate.
A lot of people who are coaches, and even people who are well-spoken, don't necessarily become good broadcasters.
Right.
Where do you put Earl Bruce?
Right at the top. As that type, you know, as that type of interviewer, of being, you know, because he was different. And you've already expressed why, Scott, because he was, you know, he had that gruff demeanor. What a heart of gold he had, though. He had that, well, you know, if they lost and they played poorly, he would say, well, they weren't very good. I mean, the Buckeyes weren't very good, and we have to get better. We have to get better right now. And, you know, and he'd say, we've got to get more out of our offensive line, or we have to get more out of the defense. And there's no holding back, you know. There was no holding back. And, you know, sometimes, Scott, you being in the with a career in broadcasting, sometimes you're afraid you're going to offend somebody. Not Earl Bruce. I mean, he was just wonderful at the role he was put in. And I will always remember going in, and I had this thing. I always wanted our guys, whether whoever it was, Dave Purdy or Earl or Bill Connelly, I always wanted them to predict the games that were being played in the Big Ten that day. And I'd say to Earl, I'd say, all right, Earl, here's what you got. How about Michigan against Michigan State? And it wouldn't matter. I mean, he would start in, Scott, and he'd say, let me tell you, Larry, let me tell you right now, Michigan's in trouble here. Michigan State's playing great football. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, Larry? They're playing great football. And he'd say, now, here's what I think's going to happen. This is the way he was. That's good radio, Scott. That's good radio. And he, like me, wasn't a radio guy. So I'd put him way up high in terms of his radio presence.
Absolutely. When was the last time you saw or talked with him?
Okay, so two things. Well, maybe a year and a half ago on talking to him. But... and I'm just saying this because this is kind of a sad note, but it's also reality. One of the most memorable conversations I ever had with Earl Bruce came about 2 months after his beloved Gene died. And it's odd in that where I am right now, I'm out walking here in California, and it was on this walk, and the phone rang, and it was him. And, of course, my wife Jeannie had died a year or two before Gene died. And Earl, I got on the phone and I said, Earl, what can I do for you? What's happening? And he all he said was, Larry, what do I do here? What do I do? I mean, I'm so sad and I'm so lonely and I'm so upset. And luckily, I think, Scott, anybody, whether it be me, or Earl, or anybody who loses somebody, that's very dear to them. Could be their wife, their husband, their mother, father, but it's a sad loss. You're kind of given a gift, and the gift is maybe you can use what you did to help somebody else. And that started a series of phone calls that he and I had to get back on his feet and get back where he was happier again. And then, of course, right after that, Urban Meyer came on, and that was a joy. That was a joy for him because it involved him back with the program. And, yeah, like I say, I was lucky. I knew him. I was a good friend of his.
When you spoke to him the last time, was he happy? Was he happy with everything?
Yeah, you know, it was before all the Alzheimer's came up, and you remember he had a stroke, and I talked to him right after that, and it was okay. I mean, you know, I didn't know what to expect, and I didn't know what to expect, but he was fine. We talked, of course, all football, and it was interesting because the last conversation that we had was, there is a coach in Central Ohio, Brian White, who is at Hilliard-Davidson, that's won two state championships in Division I in high school football. And he's somebody that, well, he came out here, he and his wife and his kids were out here and visited me last summer. So I've kept in contact with him. And Earl loved him as a coach, partially because he never passes. And he's an old school, down guts and pounding it out, and Earl used to say, Larry, he's the best coach in Central Ohio. He's just outstanding. And it just so happens that that last conversation was a lot about Brian White, so it must have been during, you know, high school football playoff season. So, but he was okay. It was good. It was, you know, it wasn't distracting.
You know, Larry, it's interesting because you certainly don't lose sight of Earl Bruce, but because of the pantheon of coaches at Ohio State, you have Paul Brown, who was great, and then you have Woody Hayes, who probably most people think is the greatest of all time. Then you go to John Cooper, who, you know, he had his tumultuous times, but he went on and did some things with the pros. You have Jim Tressel, who has great records with Michigan, but then you have the scandal which lingers there, and now you have Urban Meyer, who is a great coach, national championship. Where does Earl Bruce fit in that?
Second tier. I would say second tier. You know, I mean, I think that Woody would be at the very top, and the reason he'd be at the very top is because he really took Ohio State football and made it what it was. I mean, he put them from being a good, decent team to being a national power. And he did it for years and years and years. And if you look at Woody's record, I mean, it's extraordinary. I mean, it's Bear Bryant-like. It's, you know, I mean, it's right up there with the greatest coaches ever because of what he accomplished. Then, you know, I mean, if you look at the rest, I mean, obviously, you the Jim Tressel era, I mean, had great teams and a national championship and two more in the finals, which was extraordinary. Yeah, you know, the scandal at the end, you know, diminished maybe a little of his accomplishments, but it was not on the field football related. And, you know, then you go back, but, I mean, obviously Paul Brown was, you know, another one that was tremendous. But I would put Earl in that second. I'd put him in there in the section right under Woody and maybe Paul Brown has maybe the two greatest coaches. I'd put him in that next section, the next tier.
You know, it's interesting what I was just thinking, running down those coaches. Dating back to Paul Brown, after Paul Brown, we have such long tenures with coaches, but in the end, they're either fired or forced to resign.
That's part of the world of sports, you know, Scott.
That is.
That's part of sports. I mean, I think coaches understand that they're hired to be fired. You know, no matter how. I mean, look at professional sports. Look at, you know, I mean, a guy has a good year and they're expected to either win it all or come close. And if they don't, I mean, at the professional level, if they don't, my God, they could be one step from the finals and lose. and get fired. I mean, it's just part of the whole scenario. Let me share with you one of my favorite Earl Bruce stories. Let me share with you maybe it's been written up. Maybe it's been told in Central Ohio. Maybe it was told today. But when he was fired in 1987, they went to Michigan and won. And Earl always told me, he said, let me tell you about after the game. And he said, after the game, I was done. I had the bowl game, but I was done. And he said, I wanted to say goodbye to Bo. I wanted to say goodbye to a man who embraced the rivalry like I did, embraced the rivalry like Woody did, and was so good for college football, and was so good for the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. And he said, I knew how to get to Bo's private office. I knew how to get there. I'd been there. So he said, I worked my way around, and I went to the office, and he said, I knocked on the door, and Bo said, come on in. And he walked in, and he said, I just came to say goodbye. And he said, Bo stood there, and Bo said, Earl, I hate losing. And I hate losing to Ohio State even more. And then he said, Bo paused, and he said, but you know what, Earl? Today wasn't quite as bad.
What a great story.
The way he honored the great Earl Bruce.
What would Earl... I was thinking this Friday. It was wall-to-wall on the Columbus News all weekend. It's been shared on Facebook. His funeral today was covered, broke into programming. What would Earl Bruce think of that?
That's a good question. I'd say he would like kind of say, oh, that's sort of silly. You know, I went out and did what I could, coached as hard as I could, and I was coaching at a big university and with an extraordinary program with great kids. And there's a lot of people who would, I think a lot of coaches and a lot of dignitaries who would like say, well, you shouldn't do that, or you shouldn't, that's certainly not necessary. I'm sure Earl would say it's not necessary. But at the same time, he did accomplish a lot in his life, and he did touch a lot of lives of players and fans and people like me. And, so when they have a celebration like that, okay, I'd say okay. That's okay. You know, I think he would be okay with that. You know, I think it was good.
Yeah, history will look back on him as a coach however they want, but how will you look back on your friend, the man, Earl Bruce?
He was one of the great men, individuals, one of the greatest I ever met. And then when you talk about people who are celebrities, and he was a celebrity in Columbus, Ohio. He was a celebrity. Jim Tressel was a celebrity. Woody Hayes was a celebrity. Of all the celebrities, I mean, Jim Tressel did an awful lot for me when my wife died, an awful lot. I will always remember Earl as somebody who was just a passionate, good family man and a passionate, good football coach. And I was just so lucky to know him and have him as a friend. So I guess that's how I'll remember it.
Mr. High School Sports from WTVN, colleague of Earl Bruce, and covered him for those years, Larry Larson. Larry, thank you for coming on and sharing these great moments on very short notice. Take care out there in California.
All right, Scott, and thank you very much for having me on. You're a great interviewer.
Thank you.
Terrific.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Go on.
Larry Larson, Mr. High School Sports with WTVN. I'm sure a lot of you remember him very well. What a great memories of the coach, Earl Bruce. All right, we'll get back to the trivia questions here, but if anybody wants to say anything, maybe they had an encounter with Coach Bruce. I had the interviews with him. A nice man. A nice man. Gruff, but a nice man. Now, the trivia questions still loom today, and nobody's gotten this one. I'm shocked. What was the original grocery store that was located by Walmart, where Kroger is today? Before Kroger, it was Big Bear, but before Big Bear, it was something else. What was the original grocery store next to Walmart? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Call. If you've already answered a trivia question and won a prize, it's okay. You can still call in and get the question. It's interesting to hear what people's answers are with 38 minutes past the hour here. Two TCBY yogurt shops in Marion. Where were the two TCBY yogurt shops located in Marion? Now, they were here in the 80s and 90s. You don't have to give me the addresses. Just tell me where they were or what is there now. The TCBY frozen yogurt shops here in Marion. Who did Joe Nuxall, legendary Cincinnati Reds broadcaster, do commercials for? Television commercials. For about 10 years. He did them all throughout the state. It's a big national chain. Who did Joe Nuxall do commercials for 10 years? 740-383-9944. And this is the one that has been looming since last week. Where did Carrie Phillips spend her last days? Warren Harding's mistress. 1957 to 1960, she was in... we're going to take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, TCBY. One at Southland Mall called Yogurt and Pretzels, and the other one on Mount Vernon Avenue.
You get where on Mount Vernon Avenue?
Across from Plaza.
Yep, you got in that little spot there where Little Caesars was as well.
Right.
You got? Do you want a prize today?
No, but in the grocery store, this is just a guess. Okay. Was it Great Scott?
Not Great Scott, no. No, but that's a good guess, though.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. No, all right, we got the two TCBY yogurts, and it's fun just to get the answers. 740-383-9944. I'll go back and repeat those again. And we have some other questions here, too. Two TCBYs. We got those. One was in the Southland Mall, and one was in that little strip mall there where Cashland is now on Route 95. Okay. What was the original grocery store that was located next to Walmart? When they built the Walmart Shopping Center, it was before Kroger, it was before Big Bear. What was the original name of that grocery store? 740-383-9944. Oh, looks like we're getting a phone call here. Maybe an answer to something else. Go ahead, caller.
Albers?
Not Albers. That's a good guess, though, too.
Okay.
Thank you. No, not Albers. I can't remember where Albers was, but not Albers. The original grocery store that was located next to Walmart. It's where Kroger's is on Route 95 now. But before Kroger, before Big Bear, what was the name of that store? When Walmart opened up, it opened up. 740-383-9944. Who did legendary baseball announcer for the Cincinnati Reds, Joe Nuxall, do commercials for? Big business, still in business today. He did them all over Ohio. Who did he do commercials for? 740-383-9944. Now, this is the one, like I say, that's been outstanding. Carrie Phillips, probably best known as Warren G. Harding's mistress, spent the last 3 years of her life, 1957 to 1960, here in Marion, in a home for the elderly. What was the name of the home? It's not here anymore, but it begins with a W. Where did Carrie Phillips spend her last days? 740-383-9944. And then here were the questions that we added today. Sally Flowers, who spent some time here in Marion on CATV, Marion's cable television station. Sally Flowers came from Columbus. Her show in Columbus, which was very popular on Channel 4 in the 1950s, was called Meetin' Time at Moore's. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's, which originated from Channel 4? It was before it was called WCMH. I think back then it was called WLWC. WLWC. But who was Sally Flowers' co-host in those days? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, your answer to what's your name lived at was Westlawn.
Westlawn?
Westlawn.
Not Westlawn, but thank you for guessing.
All right.
Not Westlawn. Ooh, that's a good guess. We haven't had that one yet. No, the home that Carrie Phillips spent, it's a home for the elderly, that she spent the last 3 years of her life, 1957 to 1960. Not Westlawn, but it begins with a W. W-I. Does this ring any bells in Marion? Did anybody know Carrie Phillips or go and visit this woman in the last 3 years of her life? Poor Carrie. 740-383-9944. And all the other trivia questions are still on the table as well. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? It was kind of a country show. Sang songs, played the piano, did country music. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Channel 4's Meetin' Time at Moore's in the 1950s? And then here's a Marion one now. There'll have to be somebody who goes way back in the Marion area. But name, you remember Crystal Lake Amusement Park? I'm sure you do. Crystal Lake Amusement Park had a roller coaster. And I believe somebody was killed on that roller coaster. But it had a name. What was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? Okay, now this one somebody should get. Oh, wait. Before we go to that, I think we are getting a call here, so we will take the call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, your question about the Isleys?
Yes.
The answer is the Klondike Bar.
It is the Klondike Bar, yes.
I don't remember what year. It was late 50s, early 60s. And they had a pink bar that if you got one, you got one free.
Really? A pink one?
I can't
one.
Remember the exact year, but I know it was like there in the 50s, early 60s.
Well, I didn't know about... So you would go into the Isley shop, and if you got a pink one, you got another one for free?
Right. And they were located on Center Street and also had a job on North Prospect by the old milling company. And we would always go over there and buy our Klondikes and hope we could get a pink one.
Oh, now are they better than the ones you buy in the store today?
No.
No, not the same.
But the ones they buy in the store today are different flavors.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You buy different flavors.
Well, I tell you, it is the Klondike, but it was actually before the 50s it was invented.
Well, yeah, as far as I can remember back.
Yeah, well, it goes back a little, but you got the Klondike part right, so thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Well, see, that's interesting. Now, see, that's how we learn. Now, isn't that cool? Now, that's a neat thing. If you got a pink Klondike, you got another Klondike for free. Well, I'm glad that gentleman called in. Now, who would have known that? See, I would have liked a pink Klondike because I like strawberry ice cream better than I like vanilla. I don't even know if they make strawberry Klondikes anymore. I know they're making them in all the candy bar flavors, but that doesn't do. I'm not much of a candy bar person. So our gentleman there gave us some more information, but it is the Klondike. What was Isley's famous for? It was the Klondike, but can anybody tell me what year the Klondike was invented? The Klondike bar. 740-383-9944. Now we'll add another question here. How did they sell Klondike bars? It was actually after what the... That's neat, the pink Klondike. I like that. But there was a saying. It was a slogan. I think they might still use it. I don't know. I haven't seen a Klondike commercial for a while. But they used to be very popular. How did they sell Klondike bars? 740-383-9944. 740-383-9944. It was kind of a slogan. It was their slogan. Might still be their slogan for all I know. And then I'm going to throw in one more question, and then we'll go back and run them down again here. 47 minutes coming up on 48 past the hour. Where was Pizza Chef located in Marion? The last location of Pizza Chef. Where was Pizza Chef located before it closed? You don't have to give me the address, but just tell me what's there now. We used to have a lot of banquets at the Pizza Chef. Where was Pizza Chef, their last location in Marion? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Okay, let's go back and run down these questions again. Got about 11 minutes left in the program. What was the original grocery store located where Kroger is today on Route 95 out by Walmart? It was before Kroger. It was before Big Bear. What was the original name of that grocery store? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We've had a lot of good guesses today, but we don't have the answer to that question just yet. Go ahead, caller.
The Campus Pizza Chef was located across from Wendy's on Mount Vernon Avenue, where the mattress shop and the auto parts store is.
They knocked it over to build the Blockbuster.
Yeah, I think it was a Burger Chef before it was the Campus Pizza.
I think so. They had very good pizza.
Okay, my wife wants to know, you never give, who was Ruth Lyons' last guest?
Oh, that's right. I never gave that question. Well, I'll give that out. Now, do you have a wild guess here? For people tuning in, a few days ago, the question was, on the Ruth Lyons 50-50 Club, her last guest was a nationally famous person. It happened in the 1960s, and this person is still alive today, and she's 96 or 97 years old. A lot of people guess Betty White. It wasn't. No last guess before I give you the answer?
Nope.
Carol Channing.
Oh, okay.
Carol Channing. Thank you. Bye-bye. It was Carol Channing. I had the opportunity to interview Carol Channing, too, at one point. She was a very different woman, but I liked her. She was close friends with Walter Cronkite. Of all people, Carol Channing and Walter Cronkite. Can you see that Saturday night party? Carol Channing and Walter Cronkite? Okay, let's get back to the trivia questions here, because we've got about 9 minutes left, 51 minutes past the hour here. Or if you just want to impart some information, I think that's interesting. The original grocery store located next to Walmart. Not Kroger, not Big Bear. What was the original one there before those two? 740-383-9944. Cincinnati Reds baseball broadcaster Joe Nuxall did commercials for a very big company. They were television commercials. They were all over Ohio. What was the company that Joe Nuxall did television commercials for? And poor Carrie Phillips, this poor dear, President Harding's mistress, the last 3 years of her life, 1957 to 1960, she was put into a home for the elderly here in Marion. It's no longer here. It begins with a W. Where did Carrie Phillips spend the last days of her life? Or did anybody know Carrie Phillips? Did anybody visit Carrie Phillips? We'd love to know that. 740-383-9944. Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's, her big hit show that made her very popular here in Ohio, on Channel 4 in the 1950s? Who was Sally Flowers' co-host on Meetin' Time at Moore's? It was kind of a country show. This is a Marion question. The roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park had a name. what was the name of the roller coaster at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we came up with part of this answer to the next question. Isley Ice Cream became famous for the Klondike Bar. But what year was the Klondike Bar invented? 740-383-9944. How did they sell Klondikes? There was a catchphrase. What is the catchphrase for the Klondike Bar? It's been that way for a long time. 740-383-9944. What was the catchphrase for the Klondike Bar? And since we got the Pizza Chef question, I'll throw in one more question today. Okay, this is one for all you fast food people. Where were the original three locations of McDonald's in Marion? Marion still has three McDonald's restaurants, but where were the original first three located? None of them are in the original location. Now, you don't have to give me an address. Just tell me what is there now or about where they were located. Where were the first three McDonald's restaurants in Marion located? 740-383-9944. And I'll throw in one more question that has to do with McDonald's. What did McDonald's sell, an Italian type of food, that they don't sell anymore? They sold it in the 90s. It was big for a while, and then it did not take off, so they did away with it. For all those people born after 1995, what did McDonald's used to sell? It was an Italian food that they do not sell anymore. Used to be good. I used to order these a lot at McDonald's. 740-383-9944. And, you know, I think the reason they did away with them was because, you know, McDonald's kind of has their value meals. You know, you get your fries and your sandwich and your drink. And I think that this did not go well with fries. So they couldn't sell, you know, they couldn't really fatten you up. But they don't sell it anymore, and they used to. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What Italian food did McDonald's used to sell that they do not sell anymore? Or tell me the original three locations of McDonald's in Marion. None of the original locations are still McDonald's. So where were the three original locations of McDonald's in Marion? 740-383-9944. We have a Huntsman Auto Service Center oil change, 5 quarts of non-synthetic oil, cars only. We also have 2 passes to Saturday night, April 28th concert, The Marion Airs at the Palace Theater at 7 o'clock. We have those we can give away. And we have a buy one, get one free card for Chipotle. If you can answer any of the questions on the table, and there are a lot of questions on the table at this particular juncture. So let's see what we have here. Go ahead, caller.
I believe the Sally Flowers co-host was Spook Beckman.
Not Spook Beckman. They did
Wasn't
some.
Spook Beckman?
No, they did some work together, but she had a guy who was on every day with her.
Okay, well, Spook Beckman. I went to school with Spook Beckman's girl Friday.
Oh, really? Who was that?
Yeah. Well, her name was Arlene Swartwood, was what we knew her by at Edison, but she went by Marge on Spook's radio drive time show.
Her name was Arlene.
Swartwood.
Shortwood?
Swartwood. S-W-A-R-T-W-O-O-D.
And
yeah,
she
lived in Edison.
And she was a Marion girl.
No, she was, it was Edison, Ohio.
Oh, Edison, Ohio.
The Edison School, yeah.
Oh, I gotcha. Now, I wonder, is she still with us?
I don't really know. I'm 83, so I don't know the possibilities.
Have you
83 McDonald's restaurants were across from the used car lot there on Mount Vernon Avenue, where they put the new road in.
But it's still standing. Do you know what's there now?
It used to be a real estate office.
Yeah.
It's for sale now.
Yeah, know? I think it is for sale now. That's one of them.
And the diner on 423 in front of the mall.
Yep, the Marion Diner.
And North Main Street.
Do you know where it used to be on North Main Street? What's there now?
There used to be an A&P there. It was right next to the A&P.
Yeah. Would you like a prize today?
No, I could have swore that her, I know Spook was on Sally's show, but we went to Sally Flower's show.
Really?
Yeah, in Columbus, our class. I don't know why the guys voted for that in their class, but yeah. Matter of fact, I made a hat for Sally to wear.
Yeah, that was her thing. She always loved the hats.
Yeah, we made a hat. If I remember right, it was a house.
Now, what was Sally's show like? What did she do?
Oh, I don't really think she had a talent. I don't really think that. Maybe she was just a good talker, you know, or a listener.
I know she liked to sing, but jury's out on how good it was.
Yeah, I don't remember. We made a night of it. We went to the old Mills restaurant on North High Street in Columbus. It's not there anymore. It was pretty famous then.
Oh, that's great.
And a movie, and it was quite a night, but I don't know how the girls got the guys in the class to go to Sally Flower show. That just
that's different for that time. That's for sure.
There was a place that the Pizza Chef before it was Pizza Chef on Mount Vernon Avenue was Borden Burger.
Borden Burger. I've never heard of that.
Does anybody know that?
I've never heard of Borden Burger. Burger shop.
Was, oh my gosh, that was Borden's tried to make a fast food. That was the original building that the Pizza Chef was in.
Now, were you here in Marion when Kerry Phillips was still here?
No, I the name doesn't even ring a bell. The only one I know was his other mistress.
Yeah, he had a couple.
Yeah. Until you mentioned on the radio, I had no idea who...
Kerry Phillips. She lived here in Marion her entire life. She was here until 60. She was 86 when she died.
Yeah. That's well, that wasn't Waddell Village, was it, that she was in?
No, not Waddell Village.
Okay, well, you said it started with W, and I just figured I'd take a guess.
Yeah, no. Hey, well, I thank you for all your information. It's been great. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Thank you.
See you all the time.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, see, that's what you learn. Now, somebody who was in Sally Flower's audience. Now, think about that. We do have a minute left here. Who was her co-host? Do you remember? I've talked to her co-host. I believe he's still alive, living down in Florida. 740-383-9944. Does anybody have a guess before we wrap up today? The grocery store that was next to Kroger? Kerry Phillips' retirement home begins with a W? Who was Sally Flower's co-host? I know she did some things with Spook Beckman, but this guy was there all the time with her. They even had some publicity photos together. What was the roller coaster's name at Crystal Lake Amusement Park? 740-383-9944. We're going to run out of time, but we'll be back tomorrow. Adam, the computer guy, kicks off the morning 9:10 to 10. Charlie Evers from 10:10 to noon tomorrow, and I'll be back from 12:10 to 2. Having some fun with trivia. We're having a lot of fun doing this and learning things. So see what you can find out, and we'll talk more tomorrow, but stay tuned. Much more programming coming up here on WWGH Radio. But for this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.